Grow groups was kind of like small groups. We've been doing them kind of a little bit last several years, the adults, men and women. The group was getting so big, there wasn't no room in the church for them, in that room. And so he asked me what to do. And I says, well, I guess you're going to have to multiply. You're going to have to go in two different rooms. And they did, and it's been great. And so the emphasis the Lord really laid on my heart as we're kicking this off this Wednesday, we're going to do a certain curriculum that stimulates, small group atmosphere and learning together. And what the Lord laid on my heart, I have a vision. I'm going to share it a little more next week. We want to call them grow groups, because whether we're growing deeper in the Lord or whether we're growing out evangelistically, it's all about the word grow, right? We all need to grow in whatever shape or form. None of us have probably arrived to the place where we can't learn anymore, right? We're all still under a process of learning and trying to grow together and trying to learn more about God and watch that transformation take place. So there's a lot of teaching out there about small groups, and this is kind of lines up with many of those. But, as we've probably figured out by now, at least I hope we have, if you've been in church a little while, that, we were created for connection. Now, I'll be honest, this wasn't me starting off. I'm more of an individualistic type of person, in some ways. And, I missed out on really understanding, some of the great things that happen, when we get hooked up with other people and start to follow the same vision and start to grow together. That's something I had to learn, after the fact a little bit. So God made us in such a way that we not only need Him, but we also need each other. And some call it community. Community is being a part of something that is bigger than ourselves. And I don't believe we can fully mature as a Christian unless we allow ourselves to become vulnerable and get connected with other believers. And the church is a family, and families need to spend some time together. And that's kind of really what this idea is about, is how we can grow together, how we go together, how we can be on the same page. We're all going to be kind of doing the same similar lessons through all the ages of the church. And hopefully this will develop into something, that'll make us a lot stronger. It's when we grow and how important it is. And, sometimes discipleship is not very fancy, but it's very necessary. Because we really don't know what's coming around the corner, do we? Sometimes we can't even see to the corner, right? And let alone what's around the corner. Several years ago, the government shut the churches down. I don't know if I would comply now. I'm not saying I won't or will not, or will or won't, yet to be seen. But, how about it happens? We need each other then. We're going to have a support group in our life. Get connected with some believers so that we stay strong. Because, if we don't, we get in trouble. Now, we're going to look at a fairly large passage right now. I don't usually like to read large passages. It's not my superpower, but we're going to give her a go. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 18, verse 13 to 26. And this is an Old Testament picture of what it means to kind of see how important maybe a smaller group is than just a larger group. It said, it came about the next day that Moses set to judge the people, and the people stood about Moses from morning until evening. Now when Moses' father-in-law saw that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, and all the people stand about you from morning till evening?" Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I judge between man and his neighbor to make known the statutes of God and his laws." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you're doing is not good. You will surely wear out both yourself and the people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. Now listen to me. I will give you counsel, and God be with you. You be the people's representative before God, and you bring the disputes to God. Then teach them the statutes and the laws, and make known to them the way in which they should walk and the work that they should do. Furthermore, you shall select out of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain, and those And you shall place these over as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, and fifties, and of tens. Let them judge the people at all times, and let that ever major dispute they will bring to you, but ever minor dispute they themselves will judge. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing and God, as God commands you so, then you will be able to endure, and these people also go to their place in peace. So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses chose able-bodied men out of all of Israel and made them heads over the people, leaders of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And they judged the people at all times. The difficult dispute they would bring to Moses, but every minor dispute they would judge. Let's pray. That was a mouthful, wasn't it? Amen? Anyway, Father God, we thank you so much for the anointing that's here today. Lord, I thank you for your word. Your word is power. Lord, we want to release the word today in our lives, Lord, to bring transformation, to bring change. Lord, I thank you. We submit ourselves to your authority and your teaching. Lord God, I yield to the gift you put inside of me, and I want to use it for your glory. And Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips in Jesus' name. Amen. As well as gifts of the Spirit to be in operation, right? So here we see the idea of go small to stay big. Okay, because the nation of Israel had just left Egypt, and they're kind of in the infancy stage of really starting to follow God. I mean, they had prayed to God for deliverance and things like this, but nothing happened for a while. Then finally, when it was time, God came in and brought them out. Well, now they had some issues, you know, and the issue was that sometimes they all just didn't get along with each other. Have you ever noticed any of that ever happening in life? Sometimes, for whatever reason, I don't understand it, not everybody sees things the way that I do, right? Or maybe they don't see the way things that you do. You know, so, you know, we have to maybe come to some sort of compromise in working with each other, and sometimes that doesn't work. And what happened here, Moses made a leader mistake. You know, something that a lot of leaders always make is the fact that he was doing all the work. You know, just that happens a lot. You know, he was getting burned out, and not only that was he getting burned out, but the people were getting burned out. And that's what happens in ministry sometimes. This happens in churches today, and, you know, we need to learn from this example. And the fact is that, you know, sometimes, now I know it probably doesn't happen here very much, but sometimes we think that we're the only man or woman for the job. Have you ever had that happen? You know, God's asked you to maybe step out, and maybe you're going to lead a class or maybe a small group or whatever the case may be, and you end up doing it all. Because the Lord knows that you're the only one that can hear from God, right? You're the only one that can get direction. At least that's what we think. And so we try to do everything ourselves, and that just burns us out. It burns the people out. It stops a lot of growth from happening. You know, my goal for these grow groups is the fact that we can have a very good leadership pipeline. That the leaders are really just facilitators, and what they're going to do is hopefully give other people opportunity to do some things, and they grow. You grow by doing, people. That's just the way it works. I mean, I've went to Bible school. I've been in church a long time. But, you know, I learned by, you know, learning from the Word of God, and that's powerful. That's what we're doing right now. But there also are times in our life when we need to step out and start to do some things. And when we do that, we start to experience the anointing of God for ourselves. And when we experience the anointing of God for ourselves, it's something that, you know, God leads us into a deeper place. And I found this out. You can only hold so much inside of you, so much scripture, until you have to give it out and make more room. You know, and I remember at Happy Church out there, a lady sang, and she's talking about fat babies. You know, we're all just fat babies. We just sit around, like to eat and, you know, just absorb it. There comes a time when, you know, we need to burn that fat off, right? Lord knows we need to do that, right? So, and when we get to this thing where we think that we're the only man or woman, then we get to the idea, well, this is my ministry. And what it is, we're sometimes maybe afraid that somebody will do it better than us, right? See, when my time's done here, I hope the next pastor's better than I am. I hope so. I don't want him to be worse than me. What the kind of a pastor would that be? You know, I want the next person to be better than me and to be able to take this church farther than I could take them. And see, that's what we need to see, you know, in each of the ministries and things that we're involved in, is that we care about what happens to the church and to the relationships. It's not just about us. See, when we get territorial, it hinders ministry and the flow of God's Spirit. You know, we haven't had that much of an issue in this church since we started it 26 years ago. There you go. My wife's here today to correct me. Praise God. Keeps me online. Amen. You know, but yeah, we've had a little bit of it where people get a little territorial and stuff like that, not too much. And, you know, in different areas, we try to, my concept is team ministry. It's team ministry. And I try to get people to buy into that. Because I do know that I need somebody that will take responsibility. That's important. But I do know that sometimes you can't make it all the time. Well, when you can't make it, do we close the church? Oh, sorry, we can't do church now. So-and-so ain't here. You know, how stupid would that be? So that's why we try to get people working together where several people can do the same job. And, you know, then if somebody can't make it, well, then the next person just steps up and takes care of the job. And that doesn't happen automatically. It has to have some training. It has to have some opportunities, you know, in our life to be able to experience those things. And that's what it's all about. See, my main thing that I really try to stress is that I preach, don't take control, but take responsibility. See, there's a difference. A lot of people, if they get into a ministry and they're over something, then all of a sudden they say they control it. You know what I mean? They want to control it. They want to make sure it goes their way, does their thing. But see, that's not really what it's all about. It's not about taking control. If you take control, then there's no room for the Spirit to move. But see, we take responsibility. Right now, I'm responsible to this congregation as I stand in the office of a pastor. See, it's my responsibility to try to tend to the sheep, to make sure that I do my part and try to spiritually feed you and try to encourage you to get past some of the things that's maybe holding you back and get you into deeper water, man. How many like to get in over their head? Praise God. Now, you can't swim in the baby pool. I know what happens in that pool. You know what I'm saying? I do not go in the baby pool no more. You know, I delegate that one, you know. But I want to be out in the deep water. I want to get in over my head. That's where you experience the anointing of God. And so really what we need to see ourselves as you buy into this vision, I hope, of Grow Groups, is that all we are is really facilitators. We're a facilitator. You know, what we want to do is what a facilitator is someone who helps bring an outcome. Well, what's the outcome we want? Well, we want discipleship. We want growth. We want connection. We want relationship. And see, that's what you need to be. That's what we need to see, is the fact that God wants us to be connectors. We need to connect people and to make them feel a part of things. And I hope if you're here today, you feel a part of what we're doing here, and we want to see good things happen. You know, as we was kind of, you know, praying about, and you know, I've been stewing on this for, you know, several months, 6 months maybe, doing this and when we's going to release it and everything. And the Lord spoke to me, because a lot of times what we do in Sunday school class that we don't with the kids, but also on Wednesday night groups, a lot of times we would just do more of a teaching atmosphere. There's two different kind of atmospheres you can have. You have this is a teaching atmosphere. This is where I'm doing all the talking and hopefully you're doing all the listening, right? Amen? Just nod if you're with me today. Praise God. All right. Well, then in another atmosphere is the fact where when we come together, well, then you can share. Each person has something, and we try to develop connection and relationship with each other. And really, that's what we're wanting to, that's the difference between a small group and a discipleship thing. Is the fact that we need discipleship, but there's a way of doing it where, you know, we each feel, you know, that perhaps we're a part of it. So to me, I tried to stress to the leaders is the fact, a good question is better than a great answer. A good question is better than a great answer. What I mean by that, if you can ask a question that will get the group talking, and then somebody grows and all of a sudden they grab that revelation for themselves, they're going to own it forever. But I do know this, you know, sometimes we just talk and we share the Word of God, and You can be thinking about something else right now. Maybe you are, right? You might be thinking about, well, what's for lunch? Or, you know, I need a nap. Or, you know, I'm thinking about all that right now. Well, I'm preaching sometimes, you know. I'm not. But, you know, the idea of how that works. So if we can get people to ask good questions and stimulate conversation, then we're going to grow together because we need to figure out. Now, see, one thing about how Moses set this up, and, you know, you're probably aware of this already because you're the smartest congregation in this state, amen? Amen. Praise God. Is the fact that our country was modeled after this in some ways. Where you got leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of, you know, and then go down the tens. And I experienced this firsthand as a little kid. Living out on a farm, my dad and a couple of the neighbors, they were on the township committee, okay? And most people probably are oblivious that this was even in existence, you know? The only reason I knew about it was because I lived there because they would have meetings periodically at our house. And they go in there and they talk about things. And what happened was the fact that, you know, they were kind of leaders of the 10. Now, in our county, I should have looked it up. There's at least 9 townships. I can't remember how many there is. 9 or 10, I don't know, whatever. But in each of those townships, there's representatives. And what they would do is decide, we had a few cemeteries in our township. Cedar Township was mine. And they would make sure that the cemeteries got mowed. They would follow up on that and do that. Also, let's say 2 neighbors in that township got in a discussion or an argument about something. Usually it was a fencing dispute. You know, the old saying, good fences make good neighbors, is true. But see, what happens sometimes is that 2 neighbors wouldn't see eye to eye on who owns this portion of fence. I mean, usually it's pretty cut and dry, but you know, they get in an argument about it. And then first line of dealing with it was the township trustees. So my dad and the neighbors, they would have to go and they would hear these people's, both of their discussion, and they would make a ruling on who's right and who's wrong. Well, a lot of times if the farmer didn't like that ruling, well, then they went to the county level and dealt with that. And really, that's kind of how, you know, our country was modeled. We have different levels of responsibility. You know, and that's how we kind of, you know, are in the church also. You know, my goal, we'd like to get a, you know, I'm shooting for 100%. I'm not naive, but, you know, I listened to a little webinar about this, and the guy said, shoot for 125%. That means you count the people in the church, plus you're going to reach out to 25% more people out in the community to bring them in. And see, that's what we need to do. This, hopefully, we'll get to a place where we're discipled. And then we'll feel comfortable in our skin, you know what I mean? When I first started out as a Christian, I didn't feel comfortable in my skin. You know, because I felt really kind of out of place. Church wasn't something really I frequent myself to. You know, I could belly up to any bar and knew I could blend with all of them. But when you go to church, man, I was like a fish out of water. Until I hung in there long enough and got connected with some good relationships. And then I felt more comfortable in church than I did anywhere else. You know, it just takes a little time. You have to avail ourselves, you know, to be a part of that. So, and the reason why, a little bit why the fences are so important was the fact that a lot of times cattle would get out. And a cow would get out into the neighbor's land and start eating his grass. Well, I mean, it's a big field, but if on a dry year, you know, you're eating into some profit. And so that's why they tried to deal with that, and it's a good thing. So I want to see, you know, also that there's many parts of the body. We have different giftings here. Some of you I've watched in your ministry and different things. You have different gifts that God's put inside of you. We're not going to go to the scripture right now, but it's in Corinthians. And it talks about how each part of the body has a function. You know, I really need my hands. I need this hand worse than this hand. This hand I do a lot with. Now, if this hand got cut off, I could still function. But boy, I'd miss that hand. You know what I mean? Try to open. I couldn't do it. You know, and we need our feet, right? We need our legs. We need all these parts of our body, and each of them has a job. And just like inside this church, God has drawn different people who have different giftings and different functions. And when you do your part, we're strong. Amen? You know, we can't survive without children's teachers. Our goal is to try to change the next generation. Well, we have to have people to help us do that. We need people to help train the children. And it's important. And we also need adult workers that will, you know, lead Bible studies. You know, you probably have never seen this for a long time. Remember them old plate spinners back in the day? They would have these sticks out on the stage, and then they put a plate up and they'd spin it, and then he'd go start another plate and then another plate, and then he'd come back and have to keep these plates going. You can only keep so many plates of spinning before they start to fall. And that's like this in any local church. We can only do so much until we can't, we have to say, and I'll be honest, I hate to say this, I'm sorry, we cannot help you because I don't have enough help. That would embarrass me as a pastor, telling people that we can't help them because I don't have enough Christians trained that want to help other people. Boom, drop the mic, right? You know, so we don't want to get to that place, and we can't do it all, right? I'm not asking anybody to do it all. Just don't ask me to do it all, right? It's only fair. So we each have our part to play. So when each do our part, the body's stronger, and we're missing somebody, the body's weaker. See, Christianity was never meant to be a spectator sport, but that's what happens sometimes. The church evolved, and we're going to look at the early church here in a moment, but the church evolved into something where, you know, a lot of places, people would just come and hear the speaker speak, and, you know, it's not like this here, but like, you know, I remember when I traveled as an evangelist, you go to churches and you hear different things, and, you know, some of them just expected the pastor to do it all. You know, when somebody had a problem, the pastor has to go do that. Somebody needs to evangelize, the pastor has to do that. That's why we pay the pastor. That's not how it works. If we look at Ephesians chapter 4 with an open mind, we see that the pastor's job, and we're going to look at that here in a minute, is to train the people for the work of ministry. That's how you get stronger. That's how you grow. That's how you get to the place, you know, God wants us to be. So, you know, we need each other, and it's impossible to do Christianity alone. And see, God has created us, you know, for fellowship, that we need each other. So to be a Christian, we need to care about others and get involved in each other's lives. And that's kind of the harder part. And this is where we could meet a little resistance right now as we look at some of this. Because we all have different personality traits. And I know in my life, sometimes, you know, it's hard sometimes to get to the place, you know, where I want to perhaps be involved in other people's lives. It took me a little while to grow into this. Like I said, I was an individualist to some degree. I didn't feel comfortable in my skin at church. I was so scared I was going to say something stupid. Have you ever, anybody ever felt that way? You know, I mean, I was afraid, you know, I might cuss accidentally or something, say something, you know, because, you know, I was a construction worker and I've heard a few words and I've said a few. You know, so transitioning over into this new lifestyle was a little bit different. So what I would prefer to do is keep people at least this far away. You know what I mean? At least a couple, 3 feet away from me. Because I didn't want them to get too close, because I didn't really want them to know the real me. You know, and I felt safe if I could keep people away. But see, I found out that, this is hard, I was wrong. That was wrong thinking, looking at it like that. That was not how God created me, because God created me for connection. He created me for community, and that's why I married a very friendly wife. She's very friendly. I mean, she'll just, you know, drag you in the conversations you never thought you'd ever get into. Amen? And that's good. It was good for me. But we're going to look at a couple things here about the church. First, we're going to look at the Great Commission. And this is something that God has challenged each of us to do. Very familiar, Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. It says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Here we see some promises. God's with us. Praise God. You know, we're excited about that. But then he says, hey, go into all the nations and preach the gospel. Go and, you know, get people, make people Christians and then disciple them. And see, that's where sometimes we fail. You know, we give an altar call here, and I believe in that all my heart. You know, we give people an opportunity to come forward and give their life to Christ. And, you know I surrendered my life. First, I got saved at home, but then I wanted to let everybody know. So when I got to church the next Sunday, I got saved on a Friday night. No, Saturday night. I got saved on a Saturday night, and then the next day, I went to church. I walked forward. I was already saved, but I want everybody to know, hey, I'm a Christian now. I want to make it public. This wasn't a secret thing no more. I'm a Christian. So then, you know, I prayed prayer again, and you know, if I'd have went home all by myself and never really got involved with the church, you know, who knows what would have happened to me. Now, of me, fortunately, I've always known God has had a call on my life, even before when I was really far away from God. You know, I would get in some sort of issue, a trouble, or some sort of car wreck, and I just knew God spared me for a reason. And so what happened with me then, I got saved on November 5th, 1983. Well, I started Bible school in January. So I had about a couple months. I didn't backslide. I hung in there. And then I started to get intense discipleship. That's what Bible school was for me. I come from knowing nothing to all of a sudden I was learning some things. And see, that's what these small groups and things are going to do. We have Bible school also here, starting tomorrow night on Monday nights. But, you know, these small groups is a place to get connection, you know, where we can grow together and make disciples. Because I think that the church fails. We have failed as a church if we not make disciples. Because Jesus didn't say go into all the world and convert people. He said make disciples. That means we need to spend time with these new believers. You know, we can't force ourselves on them and smother them. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, we need to get to the place where we want to spend time with them, build relationship, and disciple them. And that's really what the Great Commission is. And the good news is, Jesus has empowered us to do so. It's not by our strength. It's by the gifting and the power that he gives us. So, you see, the church in America has it all. We have it all jacked up. He didn't say we're to go into all the world and advertise so people will attend our show. And that's what it's turned into. If you look at Facebook, you look at Instagram, you look at all these different things, it's all about advertising. It's about come watch us. We got the greatest band. We got the greatest thing going on. Come and be a part of watching us, you know, worship God. That's not what it's supposed to be. And we're supposed to go to where God leads us, the church, not the one that's the best advertising, but the one who's going to have discipleship and bring us to the place, you know, where we're confronted with some things. I was confronted with some things in my life, you know, and it isn't a loving way, but I knew there were some things in my life that I need to let go of, but that happened in community. See, there's a difference between drawing a crowd and making disciples. And discipleship, a lot of times, isn't always flashy or even pretty. No, it's not like that all the time. And if you ever have spent some time with somebody, and they're telling you, hey, I have this problem going on in my life. You know, I'm struggling with this. You know, I could really, really use your prayers now. I could really use your counsel now. You know, what do I do in this situation? How do I get through this hardship? Well, see, that's discipleship. You know, instead of just, Lord bless them in Jesus' name, we'll see you next Sunday. You know what I mean? Well, that's easy, ain't it? You know, it's in God's hands. Sometimes God put it back in our hands. You know what I'm saying? God's telling us that we need to do it. See, to me, discipleship is taking people from where they are now to where God wants them to be. I praise God. You know, I think back at the relationships I had right when I first got saved. You know, there were several people that God brought into my life, and they accepted me just as I was. And they didn't judge me, and they helped me along in the process and kept me connected. And we need to be that people. We need to be connectors. We need to reach out to people. It may be uncomfortable doing some of that, but it's very important. See, discipleship is not making people self-sufficient, but it's making people God-sufficient. See, we don't want to be independent of God. We want to be so talented or gifted that we don't need God anymore. You know, just like the guy in Scripture says, Lord, I want to build a bigger barn so I can keep all this stuff in there, and then I don't have to worry about nothing in life. And, you know, the guy died. He lost everything. See, we're never supposed to get so sufficient that we're sufficient away from God. We need that dependency on Him, and really that's what we're doing. Well, after discipleship, because, you know, the Great Commission, you know, we treat it as a strong suggestion, you know, that God was, well, this is just one of ideas that God said, and it's really not that important. No, it's important. Well, that leads us to the next point that God wants us to do, which is found in Matthew 22, verse 37 to 39. And here's Jesus talking again. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So here we see, we've looked at the Great Commission. Now this is the great commandment. The great commandment basically is love God and love people. Love God and love people. How many love people? A few of us, right? Everybody does, probably. You know, maybe in small portions, correct? Right? Sometimes a little dose, just little doses. See, to me, it's hard to love God and not love people, and it's hard to really love people without loving God, because to love some people, we need God, right? Hallelujah. We do. We need somebody like, some people just take, it just takes a little more grace in their life. We got to have some grace, you know, going in there. But see, we got to get to that place that, you know, when Denise and I was in Greece after we went on a mission trip for like 6 months and just kind of tested the water, see what God was leading us to do. And I've shared this before, and I really felt God was, you know, wanting us to come back to Iowa here and do some things. But anyway, I had a vision, and it was a treasure chest. How many love treasure chests? Ooh, I thought God was really going to bless me. And I saw that treasure chest there. And God says, you know, would you like to see my treasure? Well, heck yeah. Opened it up, and it was people's faces. People are God's treasure. Jesus didn't die for things. He died for people. And we need to get to the place in our life that we see just how precious a human life really is. And I'll be honest, as you get older, you start to realize that a little bit more. When you're young and dumb, you know, we're invincible, you know, all these crazy things. But as you get older and you see so many things that could happen, you know, we see how important it is that human life and what God, you know, wants us to be a part of. So people and relationships are complicated, but they're worth it. So to me, love must be a choice. We have to choose to love. Just like in marriage, right? Sometimes we have to choose to love. Because you may not see eye to eye every time. There may be disagreements along the way, but love has to be a choice. Now, I want to look at a scripture in Acts chapter 5, verse 42. And this is after the church was birthed, shall we say. And how, I need to pick up the pace here a little bit. But God was, you know, revealing something new that he's wanting to do. So Acts 5:42 says, and every day, not some days, every day, in the temple and from house to house, they kept right and on teaching and preaching the word of Jesus Christ. So here's kind of where we see the concept of how church and small groups go together. This is talking about temple courts and house to house. Well, the temple courts is kind of what we have right now. This is where we come and there's usually some form of teaching or preaching, worship, things like that, and that's how we learn. And so to me, I believe this with all my heart, no doubts, believe this for 30 years, ever since I got saved, that we need to set under a fivefold ministry gift in our life. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. God has anointed them in Ephesians 4. It talks about how God has appointed them into the body of Christ, and their responsibility is to train people up and equip them for the work of the ministry. That's what we're about here today. I have a fivefold ministry gift. There's no doubt on my mind. The people I prefer to stand in this place, I prefer fivefold ministry gifts for a rule. Now, other people have stood here and brought the word of God, but for the most part, you know, my wife stands in an office, one of the fivefold ministry gifts. You know, so I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that we need to submit ourselves at times in our life under a fivefold ministry gift to be able to receive the word of God. And that's important. And it comes back to submission and understanding, you know, the things of God. And it's very important. So God has appointed it that way. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. So we need to submit our lives to that anointing. And really, it's the office I stand in. I may irritate you. Some people I do, I know. I can handle that. I don't mean to be irritating, but sometimes I am. But I do know this. The office of a pastor, that is what we submit to. It's not maybe my personality, but it's the office that we submit to. And when we do that, then we start to tap into the anointing of God. Now, the Bible says if you take a prophet, give him a glass of water, you receive a prophet's reward, right? So when we plug ourselves in, so when I would go to, you know, I've been, you know, preaching a long time now, but, you know, if I go to a conference, I go to something, you know, I go there and I look at the gifting and I said, Lord, I want what they have for me. Because the office they stand in, you put them here and they're going to bring me something today. Something I didn't have to study for. Something I didn't have to work for. It's going to be free food. How many like free food? Praise God. Come on now. Free food's good, you know. And you just got to receive it. And see, that's why it's important. So, like Moses, you know, when they went house to house, it said temple, and then they went house to house. You know, people met together to grow together in smaller groups. It's like when Moses broke them down in the Old Testament. You know, they had them relationships of the tens and the hundreds and the thousands and things like that. And so that's important because personal needs can be met in a personal way. Now, I've been doing this a long time. I know it takes time to grow trust. I've done a lot of freedom classes. They're like a small group thing. It's about 12, used to be 13 weeks long. But I've done them enough to know that usually takes 4 or 5 weeks for people start to gel together. They don't trust. It's hard to open up to strangers, isn't it? Because you don't know these people. So it takes a little while before maybe, you know, you're willing to perhaps share some things. But, you know, it's worth it. As we do that, and the benefit of these grow groups is when you connect and you get in this group, you're going to be there for a while, and you're going to start to build relationship. You're going to start to build community. You're going to start to have people in your life, you know, that you can depend on. If you have a problem, hey, I need prayer. This is going on in my life. I mean, I really need prayer right now. Well, now you have a group that you can go to receive from. And that's what family's all about. But see, it'll take a while to be able to grow into that. So I've instructed. Now, I know there's going to be some resistance in some people because they don't feel comfortable. I mean, when I first got saved, the last thing I wanted to do was pray in front of people or maybe read the Bible in front of people. Now, I have instructed our group leaders not to make anybody pray. They don't want to, and not to make anybody read the Bible if they don't want to. If you want to, you can, but you can grow into that. So don't think when you show up they're going to make you do something. They're not. If they do, I'm going to fire them. No, just kidding. Hard to fire a volunteer. I haven't figured that part out yet. But anyway, you know, we want everybody to feel comfortable, you know, and maybe you don't want to pray, maybe you don't want to read, so you can just sit there and look pretty. And if you can't look pretty, you can just sit there and look ugly, right? And if you can't look ugly, just sit there. Just absorb it. Start to build connection. Start to build relationship and to be with people. And that's how it's worked. I want to roll this up right here. And the idea of how we discover things, you know, our journey with God is like it's a journey, and it's built with two things. Number one, you have group discovery, then you have self-discovery. There's things that you learn as a group and that you grow together. And there's also going to be some self-discovery in your own life and how important that is. And, you know, as we start to walk in these things, we're going to start to experience a deeper level of connection with God. Now, I'm going to stop right here. I got a little more left, but I think I'm going to do it next week. And we're going to go into really the idea of the core group is going to be about discipleship, fellowship, worship, ministry, and evangelism. Picture a tire that's fully inflated, and that's if you have all these things, spokes, really doing good. But sometimes we get out of balance, don't we? You know, sometimes we neglect some areas of our life, just like, you know, a church that neglects evangelism. You know, evangelism is very important because we need to reach the lost. That's just what Jesus told us to do. You know, and if anybody's had a flat tire, you notice it's only flat on the bottom, right? It's good everywhere else. It's just on the bottom it's flat. And see, but we need to air that up and get all the areas working good. And we're going to go into that a little bit more. Because the concept of grow is the idea of taking root down, bearing fruit up. And that's what we're going to pick up next week. All right, let's pray.